Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Plus Tech Podcast. My name is Tewa, and I will be one of your hosts for the podcast. With me are Tammy and Awesi, and they'll be introducing themselves later. So before I go on, I'd just like to give like a brief overview of what the podcast is about, and then Tammy and Awesi will introduce themselves. I know you guys can't wait to, meet them. So yeah, the Plus Tech podcast was created to give insights on significant events within the African technology ecosystem, and then also to examine the laws and policies that revolve around them. We'll be inviting guests within the tech space, as experts within tech space, to discuss the growth and development of the tech ecosystem in Africa. I'm sure that you're in for a ride. Like, you are going to have so much fun listening and learning about the African ecosystem, the African tech space, and how to be a tech bro and a tech sis, you know? Yeah. So I'm just going to let Tammy and Awesi introduce themselves and tell us what they've been up to lately. So Tammy, you go first. Happy birthday in arrears, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you, Siwa. So hi everyone, my name is Tammy Kore. I am a legal practitioner. I am currently undergoing my PhD studies at the University of Bradford. I'm making research on creating a singular cryptocurrency for transactions in Africa to support AFTA, the African free trade. So that's basically what my research is about. But
that was fun.
It's fun or boring, which? But my interests mainly span from fintech to compliance to financial markets to banking and finance and internal economics as well. So
just the right person to tell us what they think, right?
Not really.
Yeah. But so tell me.
Let me finish. I like.
So what have you?
I like painting, drawing, and music. Thank you.
Oh. Drawing, okay, yeah. So before I was introduced myself, tell me, what have you been up to?
So basically, like I said, undergoing my PhD studies, I've been reading lots of theories for monetary unions and just trying to understand the whole complexity of the IMF's basket of currencies and special drawing rights. So to try and see if that can be a model I can adopt for my proposed cryptocurrency, central bank digital currency for the African Union.
Mm. Sorry, I said it sounded like fun. Now it sounds like boring stuff.
Of course it's boring.
Oh yeah, so Wesley, please introduce yourself and tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, hello. My name is Awesi Leontina Yocho, and I'm an associate at Technology Advisors, LLP, an ICT specialized law firm. I've just been going to work, and yeah, my NGO, or the NGO that I work with, we had our volunteers training on Saturday. It's a legal tech nonprofit.
Okay.
So it's called Legal Aid, legal with an I, not legal aid counselors. We have it. So we had our volunteers training on Saturday. And then I think that was the only thing that kept me busy during the weekend. And then today I went to work. So nothing too much.
I think after my exams, I'm going to volunteer for your NGO.
You might be needed.
Welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, most definitely I will. Yeah, my own introduction. It's not as much as theirs. I'm not a big person like them. My name is Tewalade Fainka, and I am a final year law student of the University of Lagos. And when I'm not reading big law books, I work as a tech startup advisor within the university environment and outside too. Yeah. And what have I been up to? Please, exams are coming. I've been reading. Yeah, I've been reading and also trying to just pack all the other stuff I'm working on together with school and everything together. It's been stressful, but yeah, it is what it is. Yep. So now that we're done with introductions, I know the host of the podcast, let's dive straight into the topic. So today's topic is the impact of the Flutterwave partnership with PayPal on African businesses. So I'll just let Tammy tell us why this topic is important and why we're discussing the topic today. So Tammy, over to you.
Thank you, I will say. Sorry, thank you, Tiwa. So one of the reasons why the collaboration between Flutterwave and PayPal is essential is because means the African fintech sector or African e-commerce sector have access to the market of PayPal, which comprises of 377 million PayPal accounts. So basically, 377 million PayPal accounts have access to African commerce now. So it's huge. It's going to be revolutionary in a way, because it means businesses can transact, can sell their products without going through the whole medium of banks and international payment platforms like World Remit. They can just easily go through PayPal, and which with the option of the Flutterwave Pay by PayPal, which is, like I said, revolutionary. So that aside, yeah, it also opens the African markets to lots of opportunities. And currently, the African fintech market is booming. It's the African fintech market is booming. Also, the African eco market, the African eco market is also booming as well. It's meant to grow up to $29 billion in by the year 2022. So with this inclusion and with the growth, with the implementation of AFTA, the African Free Continental Free Trade Agreement, which basically creates a singular market in Africa, for Africa, I feel this payments medium, it's going to be more inclusive, and it's going to make people have more access to financial services and e-commerce activities and transactions. So that's my own take. I don't know if you guys have any other positions.
That's the thing. I happen to think that fintech in Africa is going like very, very, is growing rapidly. And it is important that, yes, it's important that fintech like tries to open African businesses to the markets outside Africa. So there are people else in other countries who want to buy things from like African businesses. And I think that Flutterwave provides that platform. It allows people outside the country to be able to go through the stores on PayPal on the Flutterwave website and then check for these businesses and the things they have to offer. So the partnership with PayPal then makes it easier for all these people who have PayPal accounts in other countries to be able to pay for those things they want to buy. And I think that there's no greater move to improve the businesses, to improve these businesses. That's just my own opinion. I was thinking, you wanted to say something?
No, I actually agree with you that the fintech industry in Nigeria is growing, and the reasons for that is not far-fetched. But one of the most important reasons is because the traditional banking systems are rigid, and they've not been able to help small businesses and startups to grow, especially when it comes to access to funds and loans.
Mm-hmm.
These new fintechs, startups, they are providing more opportunities for local businesses. They are giving them loans at flexible rates, payments. They are creating so many opportunities for local businesses to grow. So I think that's why the fintech industry is growing generally.
This is exactly what I was discussing with Tammy just before we started recording about how the fintech sector of Africa was just like a savior from, it just came to save Africans from the old traditional banking system and how you have to go and stand in the queue somewhere just to pay money. Tammy, yeah. You want to say something?
Not really. I was just about to highlight that Flutterwave has a market in over 33 African countries, including Uganda, Kenya, and South Africa. So basically, this payment system with PayPal opens more of a financial portal for people to have access to Nigerian, Ugandan, basically goods from all these countries. So it's speaking from the aspect of AFTA, which, like I mentioned earlier, it's like a promotion, a sort of promotion of African, inter-African trade, not to mention international trade. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the part that is even interesting. And then again, one thing I noticed, especially what drew my attention to the conversation I was talking about, is the fact that, I checked the list of Y Combinator startups, that are African startups this year. And then out of like 10, okay, I think there are 10 African startups in the Y Combinator this present class, and at least 6 of them were fintech startups. And then I started to talk about how even outside Y Combinator, when you list 10 African startups, about 6 out of those 10 are fintech startups. Tammy was now asking why there's so many fintech startups, and it just goes to show the failure of the traditional banking systems. They've improved now because they saw competition. That's where they started to create mobile apps, which are even still problematic. But yeah, I guess the improvement came because they saw that the fintech space was a very good competition for them. Exactly. And the fintech market is big. It is very big. People, that Africans want to just be able to stay where they are and send money anywhere in the world. So the fintech market in Africa is very, 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 very big. And I don't even think it's going to stop anybody. The fact that there are currently a lot of fintech startups will not stop anybody from waking up tomorrow to create a fintech startup if he thinks his own is going to be better than the currently existing ones. That's why it's a tech startup. Find a solution to a problem that exists, and then you are a tech bro.
To be fair, I feel the the traditional banking system there's so much they can do, considering that they are heavily regulated and they have lots of obligations affixed on them from the central authority, that is CBN. So they're meant to get, they're meant to verify their customers, they're meant to prevent money laundering activities, financing of terrorist activities and all that. So all this inhibits how much they can innovate. If you look through at this fintech services, most of them are take risks. They take risks with their customers, and they have of a very simplified system of verifying their customers, who their customers are, and these things sort of can play back later where fraud is being conducted and all that. And since they're not banned, Central Bank Authority, they can be sued, and Central Bank can issue, especially to non-banking financial institutions. Central Bank.
Yeah. Yeah. Understand. So yeah, that one is another problem. That's if there can be a startup that makes it easier for fintech platforms to verify their customers more and know a bit more about them and all that stuff, at least protect them from the risk they are taking currently, then that's another way to be a tech bro. You see, we're dropping nuggets.
Yeah.
The opportunities are just endless
actually. Yep. So yeah, that's it. And then again, I was also thinking about how I was thinking about how the financial technologies services in Nigeria and Africa as a whole is too heavily regulated. So a while ago, I was the opportunity to work with an insurtech startup, and when I started to, because I was meant to do legal advisory, and then I started to check out the regulations for fintech and insurance tech generally. Oh my God, the regulations are I know that they're just trying to ensure that things are done properly, but there are some of those regulations that are absolutely unnecessary. So these things, I think that these things try to, limit the growth of these businesses. And I realize that, like, without some of these regulations, which are, of course, noting that some of them are actually important and necessary, those ones that are unnecessary and ones that limit the capacity of these startups, if they are removed, I think that the sky is the starting point for these businesses. They can grow and do so much more. Tammy, what do you think about regulations?
So what I feel about regulations is, one, so the 2008-2009 financial crisis can be traced down to the risks that the US banks took on mortgages in the US, the mortgage sector. And when the housing system failed in the US, it affected the banks, which affected the global economy. So then they brought up the second regulation of Basel II, which has led to Basel III now. Basel II regulations for banking and for financial institutions. So I feel these regulations are necessary. The financial system is an intricate system of every government, of every country, should I say. So if it's affected due to excessive risks taken by people who are looking for quick profits and quick gain, basically, it's going to affect the whole country. It's going to have a ripple effect on other sectors of the country. So that's why it's heavily regulated. So yes, there should be some regulations that should be done away with, because I don't think the whole point of having a regulation means it has to exist forever. There are some regulations that once they've been reviewed and see that they're
old.
Yes. Their potency has wear off, they can easily be discarded, whilst new regulations come up to address new situations, because existing now cannot effectively regulate the fintech startups coming up. An example, PayPal recently just incorporated the payments of cryptocurrencies in their platform. So imagine Flutterwave automatically means this means that Flutterwave can also adopt that method of and pay for goods and services through cryptocurrencies. And our current financial regulations cannot effectively cover cryptocurrency transactions. They can cover the exchange platforms in a way, because they're non-banking financial institutions, but not effectively regulates these platforms. So what I propose, however, is some regulations that are old should be discarded, whilst the new ones should be brought up that are not stringent, but basically fluidish, that are more fluid, so it can be easily adapted to
whatever
emerging technologies. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that that's like a very significant problem in every area, not just tech. That whole problem of having archaic laws and laws that no longer fit the current situation, and we just hope that these things can be done fast. Awesi, what do you think about regulations, at least for the fintech sector?
Just like Tammy said, I feel like regulators have to be careful, so that in a bid to make regulations that will fit with the present system, they don't stifle growth. So we also need to have more technology enthusiasts in our legislative houses. We need more people there who are actually aware of what fintech is all about. We don't want situations where people will just make laws based on assumptions. So there's actually a need for more technology enthusiasts, more technology, software developers, people who are actually aware of, who know everything going on in the tech industry, to try to participate in policy making and regulation making, so that we don't make laws that will stifle growth.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so That's a very good good suggestion. I think that we can't continue to have regulations that stifle growth of businesses if these businesses in turn affect the economy at large and all that stuff.
We need representation level.
Yes, representation. And that's why young people at the lawmaking levels are like very, very important stuff. And I think that if we have a lot more young people, this is not to say that old people are not technology savvy or anything like that.
But we have old people who are enthusiastic.
I understand. That's why I'm putting out a disclaimer that this is not to say that old people are not technology savvy. This is just to say that if there are more young people, that they are more in touch with the emerging situations as it comes, and then they can be able to make suggestions or regulations for these industries that would enhance the growth of the industry as opposed to stifling the growth. That's what I meant. Thank you for that enlightening discussion. So yeah, we'll move straight to the African startup of the episode. So this is our first episode, and we decided to dedicate it to a Nigerian startup that is doing exploits currently. The name of that startup is Mono. Mono was founded by a Nigerian called Abdulhamid Azan and an Indian Prakasim. Mono is a Nigerian startup that helps digital businesses in Africa to access their customers' financial and identity data through a single API. So Mono allows businesses to access financial data from their users' financial accounts. So basically, they will provide businesses with a platform that lets them see their customers' details, financial details, that's your account data, the transactions you've done on the business's platforms, and everything like that. And one astonishing thing about them is that they're currently part of the Y Combinator set for the Y Combinator Accelerator project set currently. And they're one of the 10 African startups that are there. So a big ups to Mono. And I think that they're doing an amazing stuff. So yeah, just before we end this, my pro tip on how to be a tech bro and a tech sis. Please, first of all, if you notice, so tech bros and tech sis, they don't dress you. You can never see them wear suits. I mean, tell me, you used to see tech bros wear suits.
I mean, I put on suits. I have the idea what you're talking about. I put on suits.
What?
I put on suits.
Yeah, they talk to me.
No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people that own tech startups. How to be a tech bro, that's how to start up your own tech company. You know, tech bros are making a lot of money.
First of all, go get dreads. Dreads, number one.
Exactly, get dreads. Exactly. Get dreads, start from there. Lose all your shirts, lose all your pantros. You have to wear jeans, sneakers, and round neck top. That way, ideas will enter your head to start your own tech company faster. That's my pro tip for this week. Try it and tell me if ideas are not coming to start.
If it's not working out, always ask a lawyer. So that helps.
Exactly. You know, there are three on this platform and our social media is there. So send us a DM. We're available for you anytime. Anyways, thank you for listening to us. And I wanted to say something before we go.
Okay.
Subscribe to our newsletter. We have amazing stuff to tell you on there. Subscribe to our newsletter. It's really important to us. It means a lot to us if you subscribe. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Plus Tech Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. If you follow us, send us a message, comment on our post, like our post, and do everything. Then we'll reply you, of course, recognize you. Thank you very much for the support. And for those of you that have been supporting us, following us on all our platforms and subscribe to our newsletter, we really, really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much. We appreciate your support. We hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed making it. Thank you, Tammy. Thank you, Awesi.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't celebrate birthday gist, please. I was wishing for cake.
Yes, so please, Tammy, don't joke with us.
Sorry, cake.
Exactly. Please throw Tammy to give us cake, please. Tell you to give us cake. That is very important. Yes. All right, then. Thank you very much.